glibly, the invisible man. The science is all wrong. In science fiction, the science is often wrong. What's the big deal? The protagonist, Griffin, adjusts his body's refractive index to become invisible. Paradoxically, in order to see, the retina must absorb light. Thus, black dots would be visible where the retina are. Or the invisible man is blind. On top of that, Griffin's planned invisibility to be temporary. He gets stuck, having heard as a child incessantly, "Don't squint, don't stare out the window. If the wind changes, you'll get stuck." I had a real fear of getting permanently stuck. An invisible man is invisibility undermined by blindness. His only edge is his brain, his bravery, and his preparation. Like Daredevil, Stan Lee's Marvel character. There's a Mr. Marvel in H.G. Wells' original, but that's where the rewrite runs out. All exposition, no drama. Romeo and Juliet has more scope. As a biologist, I have sympathy for the notion of instantaneous, adolescent, procreative attachment. Love at first sight. But why elevate such love above arranged marriage, lasting attachment in advanced years, regard for a stranger, for any member of another species, or any manner or number of other loves that do not lead to procreation? I don't know. It annoys me that the teenagers can't wait, that the exploitation of Paris's wealth is not seen as scope for a triangular relationship where they eventually pocket the cash. It annoys me that Romeo is fickle, that chance plays a major role, or that Romeo evades the death sentence for killing Tybalt. And Rosalind, Rosalind is just a better name. Why do we never see her? Imagine the cis norm Dave and Deb's windshield, Ro and Rosa. Really cool. So here's the rewrite, Capulet's plan. Capulet aims to engineer circumstances where the transgressive love Romeo feels for Rosalind leads to their death, which he'll spin. The spin leads to peace in Verona, lives saved. The plan goes wrong when Romeo falls for Juliet Capulet, Juliet for Romeo. Initially, Mr. Capulet tries to redirect his plan. He can't. He asks, can he rationally sacrifice his daughter for the greater good? How many strangers' children are worth one of yours? That's the question. If there was a mechanism by which the denial of your own genetic future could benefit the mass of others, would that not be love? Truly transgressive and wonderful. Facing the 21st century's key problems, migration, uneven resource and power distribution, biosphere collapse, the question is central to humanity's current situation. Can we sacrifice our own children for the greater good? Bruce Springsteen said, when the immortal soul, whatever you believe that is, when the immortal soul is in jeopardy, story begins. Regarding carbon footprint, irreversible resource depletion, Europeans are extreme, only half the American, a small consolation. We are killing every living thing. Our children will die anyway. My own children. How much of my life would I give that they gain more? And then I ask myself the unthinkable, would I kill at what gain?